Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, 9:10, time for some table talk before we introduce our guest, the guest of the hour. I feel like I'm at a Dean Martin roast here. Before we do that, I just want to remind everybody that the tolls on the Belchase Bridge have been, I would say, indefinitely suspended. I just read the letter until plenary gets their act together, so I would say that's going to be indefinite. So if you've not been to Salvo's, if you've not been to Adam's Catfish or any of the places down in Belchase because of the tolls, you don't have to worry about that in the near future. So just go ahead and maybe make some plans this weekend. With that, we welcome in the man of the hour for Table Talk, Ian McNulty, who covers food and dining culture for the Times-Picayune New Orleans Advocate. How you doing, Ian?
I'm doing great, Tommy. Great to be back with you. And, you know, you say roast. I just get hungry.
Roast beef.
Context is everything. But some roasted meat. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's been towards that time of year when we can actually start maybe not quite within reach, but within crave distance of the fall, the roasty weather, right? The mm-hmm. The most savory stewed down time of the year.
Hang on 1 second. Has he been drinking again, Tim?
Wait, isn't this under the table talk?
Has McNulty been hitting the old fashions a little bit early? No, I'm just kidding you. I understand what you're saying. Where have you been eating and drinking?
Oh, Tommy, I've been from pillar to post this week. Some of the highlights have included everything from fabulous sort of Italian-inspired food down in the Marigny at a place called Aviva, really fun, beautiful place, to a simple little Hugh Biggs hand pie crossed over with a cafe au lait on my porch and then run through the microwave for 10 seconds.
Wait, the porch or the pie?
The pie, yes, okay. Of course. You might have seen this earlier. Hugh Biggs kind of announced this collaboration with French Truck Coffee, local coffee brand. They have a bunch of coffee shops around town, and people just lost their minds over the prospect of a coffee Hugh Biggs pie. So I had to get my hot little hands on them. Got a couple. And
how were they?
Oh, they're delicious. Yeah, Tommy, it was like a coffee and donut all in one. It was sort of like a handheld coffee break. It had that, especially run through the microwave for just 10 seconds. It's just enough to get the things moving in there.
I know somebody got fired for that once, but I don't want to talk about it. Go ahead.
It could be exploding you, Biggs. Yeah, it takes a little hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's talk about the pie again.
Yeah, sure. But it's your Hugh Biggs pie, your classic. Mm-hmm. But encased in that sweet glazed dough is a coffee cream filling that's not too sweet. That's the thing. It actually tastes like a creamy coffee filling.
Does
with
it,
chicory flavor, like a dark.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the chicory thing. Does it taste of chicory?
It does, yeah, it definitely. It is a cafe au lait. This is not a truck stop somewhere in Arkansas coffee pie. This is a New Orleans cafe au lait pie. The sweetness comes from the pie itself. And, it's a limited time thing. It's a branding thing. You know, it's got the French truck branding printed right on the label, just like you can get, Joe Loves Sue printed on Hugh Biggs pie packages for weddings and such like that. But it's really fun, and I love the way that New Orleans people responded to it, which was to go absolutely bananas and start scouring the city looking for them. So for the record, they are available. You can get them at any anywhere they sell Hugh Biggs pies. They're tucked in there between the lemon and the apple. And at the French truck.
Yeah, I know a couple had that done, and actually the pies lasted longer than did the wedding, the marriage.
Yeah, well, got to check the shelf life.
Yeah.
But yeah, from such small delights as that to some big dinners out and about around town. The restaurant I mentioned earlier, Aviva, opened earlier this year.
How are you spelling that, Ian?
Yeah, E-V-V-I-V-A. And I can't say it without kind of waving my hands around like jazz hands. Aviva! Aviva! In my mind, it has an exclamation point after it, always.
Would you go so far as to say sparkle fingers?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, okay. Bring it. It's an exciting place. It's the Italian word for sort of like yippee or hooray, you know. Aviva! Let's eat! It's not a straight up or traditional Italian restaurant, but it is certainly drawing a lot of Italian influences, maybe a little Spanish here and there, Mediterranean for sure. Opened in the Marigny on Franklin Avenue in the place that was for years called the Franklin. And this is a building which on the outside is just looks like any other kind of corner building down in the Marigny, you know, a historic Creole construction. But you walk inside, and it's very contemporary. I think at one point in time, it's probably been a corner store. But the design of it is, it's sultry. It's seductive. It's dark. There's windows around the corner that kind of frame the shifting the stoplight on the corner going from red to green. And that actually kind of works as sort of like bar lighting. And the bar itself, you mentioned old fashions. The bar, just looking at the bar, feels like what that last third of an old fashioned feels like. That feeling of comfort and satisfaction and sort of...
And wanting more.
Sumptuousness. Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
that's what I always feel about an old fashioned. When I get to the end of an old fashioned, it's like, that was delicious. I want another one.
On the topic, I think you and I have talked about this earlier, but across town, Barrel Proof, this bar on Magazine Street, makes a great old-fashioned. Their happy hour old-fashioned is just terrific, and it's like $6. And it's a great way to kind of kick off the evening, whatever evening it is, especially if you're downtown, kind of leaving downtown a little late in the afternoon, early in the evening. Random shout out to that one while it's on my mind.
You know what? Let me open the text line here, as a matter of fact, at 504-260-1870. You know, we always take questions on where you want to eat or where you want to drink or where Ian's been eating. If you want to tell us where you've eaten or on this segment of Table Talk, where it is that you'd like to go eat, and if Ian has any menu suggestions. But I'd like to open this up to send me a list, text us rather, no texting and driving, but your favorite cocktail. What is your favorite cocktail? Because I got to go with the old fashioned. Ian, what would yours be?
Oh, yeah, it's based on mood. It might be based on weather, time of the year sometimes. But I go back and forth, old fashioned to martini, kind of 1 and 1A.
I saw Doug Mouton on TV a couple of weeks ago making a cocktail. He called it a New York sour, I think, which is a whiskey sour with a little bit of red wine poured on top. Have you ever had that?
No, sounds interesting though.
He said it was delicious.
I love that we're talking about this. Checks his phone 9:17 in the morning. It's a Friday
here, but the Pelicans play in Australia, so keep in mind it's middle of the night there.
Sure. Well, everything's going backwards there. Yeah. My, I love creative cocktails. I'm here for it. I want to try them. But the classics are classics for a reason, and so there's just nothing quite like the satisfaction of that. You know, the old fashioned, the martini. Like, what are you doing? You're going right for the spirit you want with, it's been dressed up a little bit, but not too much. You know, you know what you've got, you know what you're getting. There's an elegance of presentation. And it's wonderful to cocktails. You can get creative with them. You can mess around with them any way you want. You can make them your own. But then you always have these classic standard bearers to go back to. And, you know, in that regard, nothing like a properly made margarita either.
Absolutely. Frozen or on the rocks?
Oh, rocks. Unless it's the beach or the pool or something like that. But that's. I want to taste the tequila. I don't want to taste the mix. I don't want to taste the anything. I want to taste the tequila humming through there.
All right, where else you been eating? What is this I'm looking at? A piece of crudo yellowfin tuna and porgy. Tell me about that.
Oh, sure. I think you may have stumbled upon my story today in NOLA.com.
I think I have.
Is about it's about not eating out at restaurants per se, but bringing the good times with you, the good food with you, specifically to your Saints watch party.
You made that?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, you know, nature made it because it's just raw fish, but dressed up a little bit It's just the, you know, the confidence of a sharp knife and some good seasoning. And you too can make your own crudo sashimi sushi at home.
Oh, wait, that's a finished product? I thought that was right before we went into the wok. Let me scroll down. Oh, no, you eat it that way. I see. Okay,
That's it. If good fish is good, you want it raw almost most of the time for me. Just don't, or if you got to cook it, don't cook it too much, please. Yes, the gist of that one, and I hope people will go check it out in NOLA.com and read it, because hopefully it will register with some people out there. But, you know, the Saints season has been a tough one. We're 0-4, you know, no sugarcoating it. Some of the most optimistic predictions out there had us at somewhere of 4-13, 5-12 by the time the season ends. We shall see. Mm-hmm. And yet I'm not tuning out, because for me, Saints Sundays have become the sort of sacred social time.
Absolutely.
With friends, this tribe of friends who come together around football on Sundays. And we often cheer, and sometimes we laugh at what's going on the TV, but we always cheer each other and laugh at each other in a sort of just a supportive, like, let's get together and have this weekly check-in with each other, some social time carved out from all the rest of the stuff. You know, it starts at noonish with kickoff or whatever. It goes through, you know, often until the fifth quarter after the game ends, we continue to hang out. And food, because this is New Orleans and Louisiana, food is always a very central part of it. Our host, who has everybody over to his house uptown, which we call, you know, the senior dorm, basically, he always cooks kind of the centerpiece, which is usually a jambalaya, sometimes an etouffee, sometimes a gumbo, sometimes a roast, to go back to what we talked about in the beginning, for Make Your Own Po' Boy Day. And each of these kind of specials that rolls through, I mean, I have them, I look forward to these things the way that people look forward to the Saints-Atlanta rivalry game, you know, to the West Coast road trip game, the way that people have certain days circled on their calendar for these games from the Saints schedule. I look forward to these certain days that I'm going to get together with these friends, and specific dishes are going to be had. And my contribution.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
To it. Tommy, as often as I dine out, you might be shocked to learn I don't cook all that much. I'm not the greatest hand over the stove. I can carry my own.
Well, I can see that from the picture. You didn't even cook what you were serving people.
That's right. But I am a good slicer, my friend, and I am a great shopper. I am a procurer. When people say, what did you make? It's usually a purchase.
I got fired for that, too, but go ahead.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just about bringing things to the party that are delicious and, you know, are going to delight your friends because you love your friends and you want to make them happy through food. And one of them, this did involve assembly probably more than cooking, or what I call Mrs. Mary McNulty's having company on the weekend over in the 80s, nachos. Mm-hmm. They're nachos, and they're individual chip nachos. They have to be on round tortilla chips because this is the way my mom did it in the 80s on a Saturday when company was coming over. And as a little kid, watching what adult friendships look like, what hospitality looked like, what hosting looked like, I could feel it all. I could feel the excitement. Ooh, we're having company over. We love our friends. We're having them over. Let's do something special for them. Let's not just open a bag of potato chips and throw it on the table or drop a block of cheese on a board. Let's slice that cheese up so it looks appealing. Let's pair it with some olives and some almonds. Let's take nachos and build them individually with little ground beef, some cheese, some sour cream, a pickled jalapeno, and a dab of chunky, not hot at all because this is the 80s salsa. Picante is the brand usually. And put those on a baking tray, put them in the oven, take them out, and voila, the cheese is melted to the tin foil like a little cheese crackling. And that's going to be the best part that little kid Ian in his pajamas before being sent to bed would peel off of the tin foil. whew, I'm down in a memory hole here.
You know what made that for me when you said pickled jalapenos? Because I'm looking at the picture of it right now, and it looks delicious. It's like a little hors d'oeuvre almost that you've made.
Everyone loves nachos in theory, right? Until you get a giant platter of nachos at a restaurant or something, or the Dome, and it's just a pile of chips, some of them stale underneath, with toppings mounded on top so that the first few are overloaded and the ones underneath get nothing at all.
Yeah, not fair at all.
Yeah, but you want the ideal nacho experience is per chip. So you take the time, because you care about your friends, to dedicatedly assemble each one of these things, and each one is like a little mini tostada. It's a one bite plate of nachos, and you're not picking out because you see them all on the tray there. You know, you're sharing with your friends. You come by, you have one, you sneak by, you have another. Maybe you put three in a plate and go back to the sofa to watch the second quarter. And it's fun. And this is Mrs. McNulty's having company over on the weekends in the 80s nachos. And I insist on making them at least once per season. And those are the kinds of traditions that I try to keep rolling for these games.
All right, let me take a break. Okay. We'll pick it up when we come back. You know, although some would say if the nachos on the bottom wanted it bad enough, all they had to do was work their way to the top. And they would have their share of the dressings and their share of the guacamole or the ground beef or whatever, and they got nobody to blame but themselves for being on the bottom. Other people see it differently. We'll take a break, come back. Table Talk, Ian McNulty. You got any questions, comments, 504-260-1870. Some of the texts that are coming in, whiskey sour. Somebody else likes the Tom Collins, which is like lemonade, I think, with gin. A screwdriver, Bloody Mary. Somebody else said old-fashioned. Somebody else said margaritas on Galaxy on St. Claude, and then somebody else said the Delta Don at Paladar 511. Maybe you'll know what that is when we return on WWL. And Ian McNulty, as we have some table talk on this Friday morning, I'm looking at this story you got posted today, Ian, the sandwich from the Niccolo Party Sub from Francolini's Italian Deli, and y'all can go to NOLA.com if you want to follow along and look at the pictures, but man, that just looks so good. What's on that?
And that is the point, Tommy. That's the reaction you want, right? When it's game day. Mm-hmm. It's special, even if our special teams aren't so special, even if our team is not playing all that special Sunday to Sunday, the day is special because it's time you've carved out to be with your friends, and food is just the intermediary and great vehicle. You know, and the kitchen island becomes the hub of your little friend world for a little while. Mm-hmm. So fill it with things that are great and different. And like I said, sometimes it's about procuring the right stuff rather than having any particular skill or diligence over the stove. Anybody can do it, right? So what you're talking about is the whole party stuff. So, in theory, a whole loaf sandwich shouldn't be any different from taking two or three versions of the regular size and just putting them next to each other and slicing them all up. In theory, the NFL should have parity and certain teams should not be weekly punching bags. But alas, it's not like that. And so theory will only take you so far on the gridiron or on the kitchen island. And in reality, the whole loaf po' boy, the whole loaf sub is just more enticing and exciting. So, you know, sometimes I go to Mandina's, which is around the corner from my house. I go early before the after church rush on Sunday. You can sneak in at 11, and they will hand you a whole loaf po' boy that is like, it's like you're picking up lumber at the hardware store. You know, this is, you're going out with a 2x4 wrapped in a paper bag. But I like to get a little more regionally exotic, and the one you pointed out is not a po' boy by any stretch of imagination. It is very specifically a sub based on the sub shops of the Italian delis of New Jersey, where the founder, Francolini's Tara herself, is from. Her motto, not everything from Jersey sucks. Awesome. Great line. Especially perhaps this weekend because we're playing the Giants, which are the New York Giants, but who are based in and play in
New Jersey,
right? So the party subs there, they're just beautiful. It's the whole loaf. It's not po' boy bread. It's sub. You know, it's specifically the based on the sub bread, the sub rolls that you would get up north, and that one's filled with chicken cutlets, bitter broccoli ravi, those oily roasted red peppers. They serve it to you whole. You take it to the party. You cut it up like piano keys, and everyone oohs and ahs, and suddenly you're the hero as if you caught the interception or dove on the fumble. And it's such an easy button to press. You just order ahead of time, go pick it up, and you're off to your party. You can do this at a lot of places. You know, get the whole sandwich option, and suddenly you're rekindling this icon of football game day food instead of just bringing a couple sandwiches.
Somebody wants to know where you found tuna that was sushi grade.
Yeah, well, yeah. That's if it's a good fish market, all of it should be, really. I mean, hopefully you're not getting your fish out of a place where they recommend immediately running it through a Karen Silkwood shower and putting it in a can.
What a reference! A Karen Silkwood shower. I always get that confused with Sally Field in Norma Rae, who was trying to unionize the shop. But thank you for clearing that up. Thank you. Wonderful reference. But I just wanted to annotate that for people that didn't know. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. Okay. To the listener's question, in that particular case, that was Porgy's. It was either Porgy's Seafood Market or my fridge from a fishing trip, depending on when that shot was taken. But, you know, getting yourself out 80 miles into the Gulf to go fishing for yellowfin tuna is one thing. Getting yourself over to Bienville and Carrollton in Mid-City to go to Porgy's is much easier. They have this is a place, we've talked about it before, it's a combination seafood market and cafe, sort of a modern seafood deli. The way you have a butcher shop, this is your fishmonger, it's your fish butcher. The whole fish comes in, they cut it up, they can recommend, you know, yes, this is probably the best one raw right now. This is one I put on the grill. I would make a ceviche or a out of this one. Oh yeah, don't cook this one. Slice it up, drizzle it with some olive oil, maybe some hot sesame oil that you have in the back of the spice cabinet from a recipe made a while ago. Take some green onion, cut that up on there. Do you have everything but the bagel spice hanging around? Sprinkle some of that on there and arrange it in a pattern that looks nice. And suddenly, again, your friends think you're a sushi chef, and all you did was make a purchase, slice it up, and dress it the way we all want our companions dressed, which is lightly.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about the Munch Factory.
Okay. Good news abounds. There's a lot of just coming in hot restaurant news this week, and this was one that put a huge smile on my face. The Munch Factory. You just say that name and you want to smile. Mm-hmm. It's the name of a restaurant. It's been around for, 13, 14 years. I've been following it around town all those years as it's made some different locations. It is a modern Creole restaurant. It's like, you know your classic old Creole restaurant, your Little Dizzy's, your Willie Mae's, you know, that Creole soul, that black Creole cooking. Now give it the modern version, the version of a chef who grew up in the 90s and 2000s and wanted to put his own stamp on it. So amazing gumbo, just first-rate gumbo, you know, best that you're going to get this side of your grandmother's house. Po' boys, but then also like a good roasted chicken, fun buffalo style oysters, a great burger. Just it's like a New Orleans neighborhood restaurant that you want in your neighborhood. And for a long time, it's been hidden in Gentilly, inside the clubhouse of the city's golf course out there in Gentilly. And it was a restaurant for the neighborhood, also sold beer and crackers to the golfers. And you really had to know about it. You had to go to the end of Gentilly, to the golf course, and find it in the clubhouse without really any sign on the outside. So the business that it had was a miracle, not a miracle, testament to how popular it is and how loyal people are to great restaurants like this. But they lost the lease at the city-run golf course, and thus, reluctantly, they're on the move. But the silver lining of that is they're moving to Mid-City, actually right across the street from Porgy's, as it happens, mm-hmm. in the location that used to be Fry Smoked Meat Company, a barbecue restaurant. It's just a block off of Carrollton at Bienville near the, what's over there? There's a Felipe's, there's a Winn-Dixie, this whole little complex there. Mm-hmm. So suddenly they're going to be in the, you know, this hub of restaurants in this Mid-City restaurant cluster, a block off the streetcar. And I couldn't be happier. They're planning to open mid-November-ish. You know, there's always an ish on there with timing of these things. And I think it's going to be great. It really is one of my favorite neighborhood restaurants, and it's moving to a more central neighborhood where I think a lot more people will be able to discover it. And they'll understand the Munch Factory, maybe a memorable, funny name, but you're going to come away remembering the food and the great people behind it.
Let me say this. I don't know what's going on here with the Munch Factory and the Bartholomew Golf Course or the city parkways, but I do know this. Going back to Brechtel in Algiers, the city has a history of having things that are working at municipal golf courses. It goes back to the way Frank Mackel ran City Park and just screwing it up. When everything's working fine, they got to step in and screw it all up. I don't know why that is, but they do.
Well, they're leaving reluctantly, and it was the result of leases coming up and RFPs going out. And anyway, the upshot is the Munch Factory's on the move, and it's going to be a lot more accessible for people, I think, in Mid-City. But it probably is a loss for people who loved having it in their neighborhood in Gentilly and at their golf course.
Somebody's looking for October. Real quick, I want to get to some listeners' text if I can because we run out of time. Ian, it goes by far too fast. Tell me about Oktoberfest celebrations around. I know we got all these festivals and so forth. Well documented. Tell me about Oktoberfest places.
Oh, yeah. This is the rite of fall, man. I mean, just big steins of beer and great German food and just the togetherness of everybody getting out, hopefully, in the nicer weather. The big one at Deutsch's house on the bayou, Little Bavaria on the bayou, that starts off next weekend. So Friday and Saturday for 3 weeks starting next weekend. But all around town, there's other stuff cropping up. Urban South, the brewery on Chapultepec Street. I know they're doing an Oktoberfest this weekend. The Lutheran Church in Algiers Point, they have just a sweetheart of an Oktoberfest. It's tiny. It's a tiny church. It's a small church community, but they put on a big party, and it turns into a neighborhood block party, and it's a lot of fun. If you're, Middendorf's, right? You say Middendorf's, it's synonymous with thin fried catfish, Louisiana seafood out in Manshack or over in Slidell. Well, it's been run for the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years by a German chef. They do a great Oktoberfest specials all through October too. So those are three for your German dining pleasure. And it's always Oktoberfest down in the Bywater at Bratz, y'all, run by a real Berliner with all those Oktoberfest beers and food year round. But never more in tune than right now in October, because it is Rocktober.
And thoughts and prayers to Ralph Brennan and the people over at Brennan's about the Carl Morgan chef that got killed in that carjacking. I know, you know, mutual friend Ralph Brennan, I know he's taken that hard because he cares about his staff, and God bless all of those people. We'll take a break, come back, and talk to JR. Thank you, Ian McNulty. A pleasure as always. He covers food and dining culture for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate. You need only Google Ian McNulty, and you'll find everything you need to know. Back in a flash with some weekend winners on WWL. First, though, a look at traffic.
From the Acadian Windows and Hurricane Shutters WWL Traffic Center, I'm Joe Cardosi. The Bonnie Carey Spillway is free and clear as you head in from Laplace. High 10 is still seeing some congestion between Williams and Veterans as you head from Kenner to Metairie, but that's beginning to clear. The causeway is looking good to and from the North Shore. Smooth sailing across the Twin Spans as you head in from Slidell, and all clear through the Morrison Curve and across the high rise as well. No delays as you move toward the CBD from the east on I-10, and the Pontchartrain Expressway is also free and clear. Smooth sailing across the Crescent City connection as you head in from the West Bank, and the Huey P is moving at speed. With your look at traffic, I'm Joe Cardosi.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.